I'm Frankie Mish from Sleepwaker, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our Today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under Today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at Today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/Today's Boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well. So please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls! Grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You're listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Cato Kalen listens to this all the time.
I am Monty Heath,
so one Heath,
and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or the Rumble channel, please hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on whatever podcast platform you're using, please hit that follow and subscribe button. Help us build up our numbers, get these interviews out there like the one I'm about to have right now with Mr. Damon Clark of the band Eerie Weather. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just woke up not that long ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're out in what, Arizona?
Yeah. So it's 9:30 here.
9:30. All right. Yeah, it's 12:30 here in Cleveland. And but you know, I always hear like good things about the weather out in Arizona, except for that it gets hot. So I don't know how eerie it gets, you know. But and I live over here in Cleveland by Lake Erie, and it gets pretty eerie, but we'll get into all that, I guess. first of all, like when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a little background. So like originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Honestly, I think pretty much for most of my childhood, I wanted to be a musician. I think in like middle school, I wanted to be a pro skateboarder. And then I got hurt really bad, and I was like, you know, I don't think skating is for me. Just was like, it'll go back to music. That works.
Yeah, I used to have a bunch of friends that did like the BMX bikes and the quarter pipe and all that stuff. And it's like, I wanted to be a part of it. I kept begging my parents for a really nice bike. And first time I tried doing a trick and wiped out and bailed, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, some people can take it.
Yeah.
I can't though. Like I'm with you on that one. I like did really good. I like was really good at learning tricks, but like I took I can't even remember. I think we were skating like a half pipe and I just fell really bad because it was like an outside half pipe. And so a rock was obviously there and I just biffed it really bad, scraped up my whole back. And I was like, I don't like that. I'm not doing that. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you end up on one of those YouTube videos that go viral, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deal with
thank God this is like a little bit before. Power.
Yeah. And then when was it that that music kind of caught your eye and like what, you know, do you recall any particular like band or song or whatever that caught you?
Yeah, well, so as far as like I just always really was intrigued with writing music and the whole process. Like I think the first musician I ever became like just infatuated with was Kurt Cobain. I just thought his songwriting was crazy and I couldn't process in my brain how does somebody make that happen. And then like once I figured that part out, the thing that like inspired me to want to be in a band was Motley Crue. Like I remember when I was a kid, the Behind the Music of Motley Crue came out and it's like super cheesy but it's awesome. I was like, whoa, these guys look like they're having like the funnest time of their life. So I think I actually want to do that. Watching it now though, I'm like, it doesn't seem like they were having that much fun. They had some, but like they were dying.
Yeah, exactly. And you read about like, I don't know if how much VH1 would put out there, you know, that the dirt ended up, you know, right. Revealing along the way, you know.
Oh yeah.
And then when was it that that you actually started, picking up an instrument and playing?
I got my first guitar in like fourth grade for Christmas. It's just like, I don't know. Do you still have Sears where you're at?
A lot of them are closing down. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Sears used to sell like the cheapest instruments ever. They're like $50 acoustic guitars that were like this big. And like electric guitars that were also like that big. And so I got that in like fourth grade and then like paused on that in like sixth grade to start skating, got hurt seventh grade. And then like I convinced my other skateboarding friends like, hey guys, you don't want to do that either. Let's just start like a band. That'd be nice. Way cooler. Girls will like that too.
Nice. And then so you got some of your friends together and that was like your first official like band?
Yeah, we were just a bunch of skateboarding kids that had no idea what we were doing.
Kind of learn as you went too, like yeah. Self-taught or did you get lessons?
Yeah. No, we were all self-taught. I think the most like lessons any of us got was the drummer of that particular band. Was like really good at Guitar Hero drums, so we were like, this guy could do it, he yeah. gets it.
Nice. And then as you know, as your love evolved or whatever, like when did you start like writing your own music?
I think I really started to write my own music probably like freshman year of high school. I mean, it wasn't good, but like I was like, all right, we learned some Blink-182 covers, we learned some Avenged Sevenfold covers, all right, like I want to do my own thing now. Like so I started picking up the guitar and just started playing like one note each, and like I would write songs to that and just kind of evolved since then.
Nice. And usually I forgot to ask, but it's always good to hear some of the names of bands when people are starting out in high school that they think are the greatest name ever. So what was the name of that first band you started?
Oh boy. So the first name was, it was Last Call for Suicide. We were definitely like an emo band.
Yeah.
And then that transformed into Midnight Curse, which is better. And then once I stopped being a band with those guys, I went into Transit Wonderland, and then that evolved into the Black Hollow.
Nice. And that was all through high school?
That was all through high school.
So by the time, like, and, you know, you said you started, like, really writing your own stuff your freshman year. So then by the time senior year came around, it's like you knew what you wanted to pursue after high school, right? Like, you know, I got to go to school for this, or I got to go work at this factory or something like that. You know, he knew that you're going to chase after this. How much would you say you evolved during your time in high school? And like, how much of that is, like you said, I mean, self-taught?
Oh man, I a lot. Like it was something that I was, you know, just working on constantly, like every day. Even when I was in school, like I wasn't paying attention. I was like writing lyrics and like trying to understand, you know, just the concept of music. Like, I think high school, I took like one semester of a guitar class, and they taught me like the very basics of finger picking. And I was like, got it. That's all I need. But like, yeah, I just every day, and it evolved so much. Like, I still like, I'm so thankful I did all that now, because it's just growing and growing over time too. You know?
Yeah. And then like reading music is like almost like learning another language and stuff. So when did that, did you take any classes for that, or is that all self-taught as well?
I had music class in like fourth grade. I took violin, so I like kind of learned that. And then in high school, when I started playing guitar a little bit more, I just figured out how to read tabs, and that was kind of it. Ever since then, I don't even think I could read sheet music now. If I tried, I'd be like, what?
And then, so, you know, high school's done, and you're still playing in with your friends, I assume. What was like the music scene like there in Arizona? Were you hitting, how did you get like on shows, start performing with people?
Well, so I kind of, by senior year, I had switched schools, and a lot of my friends had moved out of the city. So I was looking for new friends. And around that time, this band, they're now defunct, but this band Get Scared was looking for a vocalist because their singer had quit. And I put a video online, and it actually went pretty viral, like it, really crazy. That video is now taken down because I'm insanely embarrassed by it. I got introduced to people that lived here, because I hadn't really even been in the music scene here. Like, I didn't even know any of that, really. Like, I had just been in the little clique with my friends in my little side of town that was like really punk rocky, just like house shows basically. But when I met people that were actually actively involved in the local scene here, it was like super metalcore. And so it was just like, all right, I guess I got to find like the best of the metalcore bands, because I wasn't a big metalcore fan. And I found these guys that were in this band, To Believe in Ghosts, and I joined them like very shortly. I played a few shows with them, but I ended up like poaching all those guys and being like, hey, I'm starting this like little less metalcore band. So come join me. And so in doing that and in starting that project, The Black Hollow, was more in line with like a Black Phil Brides, My Chemical Romance type vibe. So we were able to take more of those shows here, because most of the time it would just be like the same three bands that were like kind of on that verge. But because we were more poppy, we could take any show, and we had solos and breakdowns. So it was like literally just like whatever we needed. We would just reach out to whatever promoter and be like, hey, I can guarantee 50 tickets. And that was totally a lie too, by the way. I definitely could not guarantee 50 tickets. I did not have that much connections, but we made it work.
Nice. And then, like you said, you came in as a vocalist for that band, that one band. But like originally, you were what, guitar player, right? That was your love. And then, what was it that like you just what kind of drew you over to transition to vocals?
Well, honestly, it really started when nobody else wanted to do it. Like, that was it. Like, nobody wanted to do, you know, vocals. Everybody wanted to play guitar. And I was like, guys, we can't be in a band with four guitarists. Somebody has to sing. Somebody has to play bass. Somebody has to drum. Like we have to, it can't just be that. Like, it doesn't make sense. And they were like, all right, well, then you sing if you want then. And I was like, okay, I guess. So I just kind of fell into it.
So like that viral video that kind of got you noticed that you took down now, what was that like a cover that you did or something, or what kind of caught people's eyes that was like, hey, you know, this guy, we should give him a shot as our singer.
I covered one of their songs. I covered Sarcasm. Oh, shit.
What the hell just happened?
The video I did that went viral for Get Scared.
Yeah, okay. And then like how did vocals like kind of work out for you or whatever? Or are you just still kind of growing as you go?
Well, so I would say it's a constant growth. You know, it's I think especially from like when I had started, because I kind of was just like pushed into it, it's turned more into a thing that I love doing now. You know, it's actually fun for me. So that's why like when I quit my last band, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna just do it all myself, because I've never done that before. So in this band, I write all the music. I write 98% of the music, and all the lyrics and melodies and vocals are me.
All right. Yeah. So your last band before this one, was that the Beyond Unbroken?
Yes. Yeah. That was my last band.
And then like, let's talk about like the beginning of that, how that came together for you.
Oh yeah. It's actually really interesting. So the singer of that band used to be in Escape the Fate as the guitarist. And one day on like Twitter, he posted, if there's any guitarists out there who could keep up with me, send them my way. So I sent them my friend, Maddie Hoffman, who is the guitarist for the my band, The Black Hollow. And, you know, and Maddie is literally like one of the greatest guitarists in the world right now. And so once I sent that, he like flew Maddie out instantly, and like they hit it off. And Maddie was like, hey, I'm not like the biggest Escape the Fate fan, but I know a guy, me, that is, because like I loved that band so much in high school. So he was like, so, you know, if you want his opinion, a fan's opinion on stuff, he can come out. And so they invited me out, and you know, we hung out, and they'd asked me like my opinions on songs, and I was kind of just like, well, do you want like my honest opinions, like as like a writer, or do you kind of want like the soft blow? And they're like, just tell us what you think. And I was like, all right, well, if I'm being honest, that song sucks, that song sucks, that song's a hit, that one's okay. And I think they were just like flabbergasted that like this kid was just like, this kid just said my song sucked. Cause like I was like 19. And so they, you know, kind of just kept in touch. And then they started writing and recording for their EP. And they were asking like if I knew any producers, and I recommended them to Matt Good, cause Maddie and myself had just recorded with him, Matt Good from the band From First to Last. And we, you know, Maddie needed a ride to the studio, because he doesn't drive, so obviously I'm going. And like we were just there hanging out, writing together, talking, and like eventually the singer was just like, do you just want to be in the band, can you play anything? can kind of play bass. You can kind of play bass. Cool. You're in the band. And so that's really how that started. And then the name just came from us, like, in the studio, like, talking. I think Monty wanted it to be called just Unbroken. But then Maddie misheard him and was like, "You say Beyond Unbroken? That's kind of cool." And it kind of just stuck.
Nice. And then, so you're playing in that with those guys for a little while. And then, like, what was it that, you know, kind of led you to wanting to pursue your own thing and not working kind of with the band?
Yeah. Well, so I was in that band for like 5 years, and I'd actually wanted to quit that band, like, I'd say after 2 years, because I wasn't really happy anymore in it. But I stuck around because, like, they were my boys and they were there for me in, like, a time I really needed it. And we had a great Monty and myself, we worked really well together writing music. But it was really apparent really fast that they were it was just a huge personality difference. You know, like, I have a lot of, like, mental issues. Like, I suffer from depression and anxiety, and, you know, that's why, like, I'm rocking back and forth right now, because I'm just full of anxiety. But, you know, they're definitely not that. They're like, and this is just how their brain works, and so I don't judge them, but their in their mind, depression isn't a disease, if that makes sense. They're just like, "Oh, you're just sad, get over it, you know, like, this is fine." And it's like, no, it doesn't really work like that. And so, like, just years of kind of that, it's just like grinding constantly. And eventually it just got to the point where I couldn't really take it. So I kind of knew, like, when we started writing what was supposed to be the full length record, that, like, this is going to be the last thing I work on with these guys. And then after it, I was going to leave. And then it just kind of escalated. We were shooting videos, kind of just, we shot like 4 videos just back to back to back. And I was just so tired and going through a lot of, like, personal issues. And it just kind of led to, like, this really shitty night. And I was like, you know what, guys, like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. So we shot the last video. And I was like, I remember telling Michael, because he was going to drop me off back home, I told him, like, I don't think you're going to see me again. I think this is it. And that was really it. I just left. I texted the guys, like, "Hey, like, I support you guys and everything you do, and I love the music we made together, but I need to do this alone. I can't do this with you guys anymore, and I'm sorry."
Man, okay. Yeah, I can relate, man. I'm you know, approaching 50, and you know, I had anxiety issues. I was in the military. I struggled with PTSD, so
thank you for your service.
You know, thanks. And you know, so, and I remember, like, you know, I mean, you're what, in your early 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I remember it, like, for me, it, you know, going through that stuff in high school and just feeling like an alien and not connecting. And that's when, you know, like, you know, I got exposed to drugs and alcohol, and it was, you know, my escape and numbing for so long. And now I'm 13 years sober. But you still got to learn how to live in your own head. And I, you know, even today, it's like, you know, I have some friends that mean well, that I trained jujitsu with and stuff like that, you know, like Phil is saying, or in the military, you know, it's just like, oh, just throw some dirt on it and keep going, you know, suck it up. Yeah. We don't have time for depression and anxiety and stuff, you know, and that sucks, you know, not feeling like anybody can relate and understand. But part of me doing this podcast is kind of for myself to face my, I guess, social anxiety and stuff, and start learning how to communicate normally with people again, because, you know, I don't drink anymore. I don't go for the crutches. I have to learn to, you know, but so, I get it. I feel you, man. So I just wanted to reassure you too. You're not alone, you know, in this journey. And I guess music is your way of expressing and getting out what's going on in your head. You know, I get all the crazy things that bounce around in our heads, and it's just like, and then you're like,
you know, I have friends that are just like, they're more concerned about the Cleveland Browns than the state of the world, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, I can't understand it, but I don't know. It's good to find like-minded people, you know, and just know that we're not walking alone with this. And anyway, I guess that's my TED talk on depression for you. you're not by yourself, dude. So
thank you.
But I mean, and it's easy to, you know, it's cool that you're working to by yourself on music and stuff, but you know, don't ever like completely isolate yourself, because we do need to like stay surrounded by community and stuff. I know what the voice in the head have told me multiple times in the past, and you know, thankfully I'm still here because I reached out and talked to people, you know. But
definitely.
So, you know, you leave the band there, you start, I guess, is that when Eerie Weather started for you?
Yeah. So like after I left the band, I really needed time to like just reflect on me. Cause like I said, I was like, that was the darkest time of my life. Like I was so depressed and just out of it. And I was like, I don't even think I want to do music anymore. I think I'm going to retire and just step away. And it took like a good year. And then I kind of just started picking up the guitar and writing again. And I was like, well, you know, like I got some cool songs here, and they were different. Like also, you know, like I didn't want to write sad music or, you know, anything like that. Like I wanted to try to do something different, something I'd never done before. And I always wanted to start a pop punk band. Like that was something I'd wanted to do since I was a kid. Like I grew up loving like Blink 182 and Good Charlotte and Sum 41 and Newfound Glory. And I was like, but I could never, like every time I picked up a guitar, it just sounded sad. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just try and write something different for once. And then I reached out to a couple friends. You know, I started dating a new girl who I'm still with. She had a roommate who played guitar, and I was like, hey, like, I know this isn't really your thing, but you want to like help me record a guitar? Cause like, I'm not very good at recording guitar. Like I've never been very good at recording guitar. I like playing it. I like writing, but I'm not a really great record guitar player. And he was like, sure. And then I reached out to a friend of mine, Cam, to drum on just this cover I wanted to do. And
hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, protein, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BoonDog10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled DREEM. And start saving today, because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
This guy Ty Engel to record it, and it really kicked off. Like we had such a good time, like just hanging out and vibing off one another, that I was like, all right, like let's record like an actual song now, like, because that was just a cover. Let me try to like do something that's just ours now. And so I went and recorded my first single with them, I'm in Trouble. And we got this guy, Stefan, to play on the drums. And I was just like, this dude's like the greatest drum player I've ever seen. What? And so I was like, do you guys just want to be my backing band? Like, do you guys just want to just be there with me? Because this is awesome. Like, I love you guys. You guys are super chill, like-minded, and you're just fantastic musicians. And we worked super well together. And so it's really how that began. Like, these guys literally can take what is in my brain that I am super bad at describing and just be like, oh yeah, we get you, and succeed on all levels.
That's awesome. And then, so like, what, you know, like, I was busting your chops at the beginning of this about eerie weather and stuff, but what inspired that name for you?
You know, so this actually goes back to my last band, because there was a point when we were recording the record that they wanted to change their name. And so, like, that's always kind of been my forte, is like coming up with names and one-liners. And so I was like, okay, like, I'll just write stuff down. And I had the word weather a lot in it, because I just thought it's a cool word. And then once I quit that band, I just kind of like was thinking of like, okay, like, if I'm going to start another project, what am I going to call it? And there was this weird, like, one-off band. They put out like one EP, and they were called the Eeries. And I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, Eerie Weather sounds pretty cool. That sounds like it could be like a person or a band. I'm going to take it. And like, I looked up everywhere. I was like, Spotify, no. Apple Music, no. YouTube, no. Facebook, no. Nobody has that. Not one person. Mine now. Boop. Saved.
Nice. And then, you know, we kind of got connected through my friend, Chris Bianchi. But like, how did you get connected with Chris?
Chris and I kind of go back a little bit. He used to, so my buddy Maddie Hoffman, who I used to be in you know, tons of bands with, he's now in Escape the Fate. He was at the time in this band, Dead Girls Academy, and then later Vampires Everywhere. And I don't know if he still is, but Chris was managing them at the time. And so Maddie recommended him to Beyond Unbroken. And so we worked with him there. And then once I branched off into my solo thing, I was just like, hey, like, do you want to help me out too? And so he's been the guy that really helps me out with PR. And, you know, whenever I have any questions on anything music related, especially like marketing, I always go to him, because he's a genius and really like-minded.
Yeah, he totally is, man. And you know, I was gonna say, he's like a walking, you know, book on music, and he has a book, so you know. So I'm impressed every time I talk with him. Like, when he was in Forever in Terror, like, I remember I used to do concert promotions, and I, you know, I had him on one of my shows. But that was back when, you know, like, at my, you know, I was dabbling in drugs and alcohol and stuff. So obviously I wasn't the most successful on that end, but he, you know, he was, and he stayed the path and stayed disciplined, and he's doing great things, man. And I'm really, happy for him. And just, you know, it's really cool to look back now. You know, I mean, I guess my path was to do something like this, you know? Mm-hmm. But you know, to see people doing the things that I thought I wanted to do. And sometimes I'm like, man, I don't think I would be able to handle that. I don't know if I really want to deal with half that stuff. You know, it's like, I struggle dealing with just people in general sometimes, you know?
And dude, that's relatable.
Yeah. So, you know, but he's awesome, dude. I'm happy that I formed a friendship with him now after all these years. And, definitely got to go down there and shoot some BB guns with him or something. But so yeah, so he's helped you out, and he got us connected for this. What else are you guys like working on right now? I mean, do you have a full length you're putting out, or?
So we're going to be putting out an EP. The original date was supposed to be in October, but I'm thinking I'm going to have to push it back to like January, because I am being a very weird perfectionist about it. But it's great news that I'm pushing it back to January, because one, it's going to sound better, and two, it'll probably have another one or two songs on it. So yeah, it'll be 7 to 8 songs. So
nice. And then, you know, I was reading through what the brief bio you sent me, and then of course I started, you know, digging for more stuff. Real quick, how'd the nickname Damn It Damon come to be?
You know, dude, honestly, that's just what everybody has said to me literally my whole life. Like, just when anything, just literally anything, just my grandfather was, damn it, Damon, damn it, boy. And then, like, my mom just would be like, anytime I'd be in trouble, damn it, Damon. And then even, like, my bandmates who, like, literally would never had met my parents or my grandparents or anybody, they just anytime to be like, God damn it, Damon, why? So I was like, you know what? I'm taking it. That's mine. I guess that's just me.
Yeah, I guess, you know, something that could be like negative connotations and kind of feeding negativity in your head. But I guess when you like take it and own it, transform it, you know, and it doesn't have power, I guess, over you anymore, right? You know?
Right. I mean, NoFX has Fat Mike. So Eerie Weather has Damn It Damon.
There you go. And then, you know, when you sent me the couple paragraphs describing yourself and your project to me, there was a quote saying, I love people I work with, but at end of the day, if they don't want to be here, they don't have to. And I read that and I'm just like, you know, why is that in there in your write-up? I mean, I know you're I guess, you know, you're being honest, but at the same time, it's like reading that before getting to know you and knowing what you know, that we struggle with a lot of the same stuff. It's almost like, man, this guy sounds like a narcissist. It's tough to work with. You know,
I'm sure there's somebody out there that I've worked with that would say that. But no, it's just, it comes from a place of love. Like it really does. Like, I love my bandmates so much. I wouldn't want them to ever leave. But at the same time, you know, I kind of look at this project like in a way that Panic at the Disco or Falling in Reverse is. It's, you know, at the end of the day, Ronnie Red, he's the only person that needs to be in Falling in Reverse for it to be Falling in Reverse. Brendan Yure is the only one that needs to be in Panic at the Disco for it to be Panic at the Disco. And this project really isn't any different. Like, if those guys decided like, hey, this just isn't for me anymore, I don't want to do this project, you know, like, I'd be like, damn, dude, that sucks. But like, I wish the best for you. You know, when contracts come around, I'll be the one to put my name on the line to do it. I wouldn't want those guys to ever have anything to do that, you know, like, unless they really wanted to. But like I said, like, at the end of the day, these are my songs. I'm writing a majority of this, and I have final say on everything. And if they don't want to do it, they really don't have to. So I definitely could see where it could come across as just like, ah, screw these guys, it's just me. But it really isn't that. It's really a place of love. Like, I love them. I want them to be here. But if they ever want to leave, they can.
Okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, like, reading it, you kind of like, you don't know what context it's under. So, oh, definitely. You know, I don't know, just, I guess, constructive criticism or whatever, you know, now, you know, if they didn't get a chance to talk to you like I have and understand where you're coming from, I don't know. But, you know, it kind of, I guess, relates to the one track that I was checking out on your Bandcamp, Loner. I mean, it sounds like that's pretty much, you know, you know, your theme or whatever. I'd much rather, you know, work alone. Is it, I mean, obviously self, you know, when you're writing this, trying to explain, you know, yourself or just tell me what, you know, what was that, the inspiration with that song?
Well, I again, the, honestly, that was the first song that I wrote when I left Beyond Unbroken. And I was so just like bitter, and I was just like, you know, I don't want to work with anybody, like, because like it's hard to explain for people that like haven't been in bands or in group situations, like, but it's a working with other artists is always super difficult because every guy wants a say in what's going to happen. And especially in a situation in a band where there isn't necessarily a leader, right? Like it's good to have a leader because the leader says, no, I don't want to do that. We're not doing that. That sounds cool though, you know? And when you're in a band that's full of three leaders, doesn't know, like, that just doesn't sound like a good recipe, you know? And that's really what that comes from, and that's kind of like how I've led this project as well. Like, I don't want to do that ever again, because it's just like everybody thinks they're right, everybody thinks that their part is essential to the song and that their direction is right. And so I don't want to deal with like big personalities like that anymore. I would much rather take the songs that I love and gamble on myself. And if my buddies have a cool idea, like if Stefan the drummer has like a cool drum part, I will literally message in the group chat, oh, that's awesome, or oh, that needs to be taken out, that's not good. And because they're my songs and it's my direction, it gets done. And sometimes I could be right and sometimes I could be wrong.
Gotcha. And then I really enjoyed about checking out the Bandcamp and that song in particular is like the art. It was like, I'm a real big comic book nerd, you know, growing up. So I like the whole like comic book cover design that you did for that. Or I don't know, was that you, or did you have an artist that does that for you? Or
Well, I came up with the concept design for it, but I found this really cool artist. I think her name's like underscore train something, I can't remember, but I found her on Instagram and I just like messaged her and I was like, hey, like, would you ever be interested in making cover art? And she was like, sure. So I sent her that and she just made it look perfect. And that's really how I find a lot of like artists. I think Instagram in particular is a really underutilized tool for finding artists of that nature. Because there's always so many that have commissions open. And once you get that all agreed upon, like, it's super easy, and it beats trying to find somebody on like Fiverr who's going to be like, all right, well, for this picture, it's going to be $500 and you can use it for some things, but not all things. Opposed to like somebody on Instagram who's like, yeah, I'll do it for like $70 and, you know, just tag me.
Nice. And then, you know, so you said January you'll have the EP hopefully coming out. Yes. What other kind of goals do you have going forward for the band?
The project. I definitely want us to play shows. Like, I think we have a show lined up for December that I can't really talk about other than we're playing a show in December. But I would love to do a mini tour next year. I think that would be super awesome. Just a couple cities in the West Coast, a couple cities in the East Coast. I think that would be the ideal plan.
Gotcha. Well, man, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, you know, we had earlier, but, if you got a couple more minutes, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions that I normally ask guests I have on here.
Yeah, man, shoot.
Is there a song that you feel has like inspired you in life, or like is a go-to for you for like, some days when you're just really down and it picks you up, it's like a regular on a playlist for you.
Oh, man. Probably Nirvana, Heart-Shaped Box.
Nice. And then what class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
Um, I think a class that should be mandatory is understanding of finances.
That is the top one that like everybody says when I ask that one on here.
And, they don't talk about it. Like, it's just like, maybe if you get lucky, you'll have one teacher that'll do like a class on it for like a day. And then they're like, okay, that's as much as we can do. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll tell you about the tax system or the, you know,
yeah,
any of that stuff. So I've been, I definitely push that on my daughters as much as they're willing to listen. But who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Ooh. My dad, my mom, my girlfriend.
Nice. And then any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
Oh my God. There's Big Cat Rescue is one that I love a lot. There's Heritage Cat and Dog Rescue that mean a lot. And a couple others right now that I can't remember.
Gotcha. And then favorite toy as a child?
Ooh, that is a very great question. I had this Power Rangers Megazord. That was awesome. It was detachable, and so you can have all of the regular Ranger Zords, and you put it together, and you can like morph it into the Megazord. It was awesome.
Cool. And then any message that you have for our military members that are currently serving overseas?
You are all appreciated, and thank you for your service. You are the bravest and best of us. And you got family waiting for you. And if you don't have family, you got friends and people care about you.
Awesome, man. Thank you. And then if anybody that's in the audience checking you out today and wants to support your projects and what you have, what's coming up with Eerie Weather and or wants to know more about the band, where would you send them?
Send them over to Instagram at Eerie Weather, all one word. But it's that on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Awesome. And thanks for being patient. And I'm glad we were able to make this happen and get you on here today to talk. Sorry about the whole mix up with my computer rebooting in the middle of this. Hopefully the audience can, fast forward, through that part. Cause yeah. I don't know how to, I'm still new to all this stuff. I mean, I could do audio editing, but mm-hmm. video, I haven't figured that out yet. Sure, maybe I could chop it or something in YouTube Creator or something like
actually,
that.
Actually, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think they have a little like chop button that you can make that happen.
Cool. I'll have to do that because right now it was streaming live. So, anyway, Damon, thanks for your time, man, and good talking to you. Like I said, man, there's like-minded people out there. We just gotta. Yeah. Stay connected and, keep finding healthy ways to, express ourselves, I guess.
Definitely. And hey, thank you so much for interviewing me today and taking your time. And I greatly appreciate it.
All right, man. No problem. You take care.
You as well.
brother-in-law almost got deported for going down south and buying tax-free cigarettes in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he would bring them back and then sell. That was his nickname. Because he had the secret. He got caught. He got caught going across state lines, and he had to pay the taxes. He had a whole van full of cigarettes. Yeah. They confiscated the cigarettes, and he had to pay the taxes. Virginia, West Virginia, and MP, Ohio.
Oh yeah,
he had to pay all the taxes.
Blasting them to give them a little taste of what it's like.
He was they were going to deport him back to Germany.
I should have
right after that, he got a lawyer and they did
it. Maybe you're right. Yeah.
He had to pay the fine. If he wouldn't have paid the fine, he would have got deported. So right after that, he became an American citizen. But
Don't let him see us.
I went down there for him one time in that van he had. And he wanted me to go again. And I says, no, man, it's in the paper. The states are getting together and they're cracked down on us. And he goes, bullshit, I'll go myself. He got caught.
Don't give him the status, man.
Yeah, as soon as he crossed, into Ohio, they nailed him, man.
He was back in the 70s, somewhere in technology today.
So he's the army. I've disowned him. I don't talk to him.
I would never want to be in the army. After what I've seen,
some people.
Well, he was in a CB.
What was his name?
Emil Mahoney.
And I told him,
that's the Navy's army, man.
Craig.
Very common last name.
Yeah.
He likes that kind of shit. Yeah. So.
I saw him at Chief Deal's funeral.
Terrible.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall. Brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.